Anyway, again, my name is Aaron Rashetta. I'm here with Electronic Frontiers Georgia, and also representing a lot of the people that I associate with in Atlanta Linux Enthusiasts, a computer advocacy group working mostly in open source and advocating open source programs and tools. I'm here to talk today about the voting issues and computer voting issues specifically as they affect our democracy. It's an issue that's really come to the forefront because of the conflicts and problems of the 2000 election. And it's one that I think should be concerning us all in this mad rush to change our voting and election systems without very many checks or balances. I'll be speaking a lot today about what has gone down in Georgia as far as that goes, and the way the systems in Georgia, which was, by the way, the first state to adopt statewide exclusively electronic voting systems through a single vendor. We were the first state to do that in 2004. Nevada will be the second state. Nevada's taken quite a different route, and I'll explain why that's happened as well. First off, get a little bit of a sense of the audience. I imagine most people here are from Georgia, right? Oh, okay. We got several from out of state. Cool. And any European folk here? People from other side of the pond or anything? Okay. And any off-worlders, right? This is Dragon Con. That's good. A lot of everything that I'll be talking about will definitely be germane to everyone. There's a lot of the story of Georgia's voting systems that can give you some ammunition for seeing that this doesn't happen in your state. The main stance that most anybody who understands computer technology takes is that computer voting without a verified paper audit trail is a really, really bad idea. There have been systems, and this is a system that was actually demonstrated to Georgia. Georgia's Secretary of State, Kathy Cox, and was demonstrated to the governor of Georgia before we made the decision to use Diebold paperless systems. And it's a good example of how a system is supposed to work. I don't represent the company that makes this or anything. It's just a good example of a system of how a system should work for computerized voting, because there are a lot of advantages to the system, especially in terms of access for the differently abled. And those I don't think should be thrown out. We don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So show you for a couple minutes how a system... Oops. Which button is play?
I'm President and Chief Executive Officer of TrueVote International. Now, TrueVote International is a software development firm. We have developed the most comprehensive voting system on the market. There's no other voting system on the market that has all of the capabilities of this particular system. Now, we started developing this system after the 2000 election. My background is that of an auditor. I've been an auditor for the last 30 years. The first thing that I recognized is that we were violating Rule 1 of Auditing 101. Any transaction must have a source document. If there is no source document, the situation becomes unauditable. The system that I've developed keeps the voters involved. It protects the voters' anonymity, but at the same time, it allows the voters to verify that their votes have been received, recorded, and counted in the exact manner that they intended. What I'll do now is give you a brief demonstration of the system. When a voter comes in to vote, the voter will go to the voter registration desk like they always do, and this card will be activated based on the voter's address, the language they speak, any disability such as blindness, or whether or not they're going to be voting a provisional ballot. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then, now, a blind voter can vote on this totally unassisted. They simply put on a headphone, they listen to a recording, and they can speak into a microphone and vote just like everybody else. So when this card is activated, the voter will simply insert the card, and it will bring up the ballot that is applicable to that particular voter. We've made this extremely user-friendly. On the left-hand side, you see the race. To vote, the only thing the voter needs to do is merely touch the screen. And when that happens, the voter's choice immediately comes over to the right-hand side that shows their current selection. I've just voted for Thomas Jefferson. If I realize I've made a mistake, I touch it, I can go back, and I can make another change. Now I know who I voted for. The screen automatically goes to the next race. Mm-hmm. It is impossible to overvote on this system.
Wow.
We've solved that problem. There is no such thing as an overvote. An overvote is when you vote for more than one candidate and they throw your entire ballot out. Mm-hmm. That's impossible. It automatically goes to the next race. We also have the ability to raise the font size for those people with limited sight.
Mm-hmm.
And for those individuals who are colorblind, well, the Help America Vote Act says you must address that. We're able to change the contrast so a colorblind person could see what's going on. This next race is a proposition or a question. As we know, proposition and questions can be long, wordy, with double negatives. You think you're voting one way, but you're actually voting another.
Mm-hmm.
The question here is, should touchscreen system produce a voter verifiable paper audit trail? There's a picture of a receipt there for yes, or a picture of a receipt with a no,
mm-hmm.
Okay? But if you want to view it,
uh-huh.
You can actually go through and read the text.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, after I've read it, now that I understand it, I can cast a ballot for it.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the ability, we're the only federally certified system that has the ability to put in photographs. So you might say, why are photographs important?
Mm-hmm.
You may remember a few years ago here in Atlanta, when John Lewis was running for a re-election, they found another John Lewis to put in the race. I always get silence when I ask election officials this question, what would you do if you had four John Lewis's or four whoever running in your life? What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Absolute silence.
That's right.
Our system is the only certified system that addresses that. This problem has occurred 17 times in the last three elections, and it's done intentionally. Jesse Jackson ran for re-election. They found two more people named Jesse L. Jackson Jr. Put him in the race. So we have solved that problem. Here we have a city council race. Vote for three. I'll vote for the first one. Notice it says next race. I could just vote for that one and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've got the ability to vote for three. I vote for the second. I could still go forward. But when I vote for that third, that's it.
Uh-huh.
I cannot overvote. We've also solved the problem of the undervote.
Mm-hmm.
An undervote is where either you intentionally or unintentionally skip a race. Okay? Now, with this system, let's go back here. You've got to vote for one of these four candidates or this candidate called no vote in order to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that you intentionally skipped that race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This next one is a recall race. Kind of suggested, should John Smith be recalled or retained? To retain him, to recall him. Or you can skip the race. Now, here is where we have the problem. With most of the systems, you push cast ballot and walk out. That is
mm-hmm.
called blind faith voting.
Yes.
Touching a screen is not casting a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
With this system, it allows you to go back and kind of review what the machine has recorded. But how do I know that when I touch this one, the machine has not been programmed to go there? How do I know that? You don't. Listen, my background is an auditor says, look, the only way that you can verify it is have the person who made these selections to independently verify it and have a source document. So with this system, what we do is we simply, when you push cast ballot, that's not the end of your process. This system allows you to verify on paper what's on this machine,
mm-hmm.
and it must agree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no Secretary of State in this country that's going to allow you to walk out with this receipt. That's not going to happen. People would say, bring me back a receipt showing you voted for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no, that's not going to happen. But what happened is it drops into this ballot box or one larger. So the voter says, yes, this is my selection. But if the voter looks at it, and let's just say he says no, what happened is it will continue to print And at the top of it, it will indicate I rejected that ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it allows me to go back.
And start all over.
Okay. Now, not start all over. I just make the change that I wanted to make.
Okay.
Now I'm going to verify it. And now this receipt would also fall into the box. It shows that all of my selections, all of my selections, that one was rejected.
Mm-hmm.
That one was rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it asks me to verify it. Is this correct? I say yes.
Mm-hmm.
It continues to print out the ballot. And at the top of it, it will indicate that that one was accepted. Now, what happens at the end of the day, there's a public counter on this machine that shows that there were 583 ballots cast on this machine. How many pieces of paper should there be in there?
583.
That's right. And should they match exactly?
Exactly.
They should match exactly.
You got to remember, when you're talking about elections, you're talking about the control of billions of dollars at stake. And I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. Thank you.
When you're talking about elections, you're talking about the balance of billions of dollars, the control of billions of dollars at stake. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but there's a lot of activity surrounding the installation of these machines that is very, very suspicious. And it's one of the points I'm going to get to as we delve into this talk. Can we get some lights, please, if anybody can reach back and turn them on back there? And we'll just kill that for right now. Any luck at all? Okay. I don't have my little slides up, but that's okay. They were actually borrowed slides from a nice presentation by a gentleman named Dill. I won't worry about that. We just move on and say it's pretty much common sense that there's a broad public distrust of these paperless electronic voting systems, okay? That's pretty well stated by a little famous quote that says, those who cast the ballots decide nothing. Those who count the ballots decide everything. Knowing that simple truism, the most disconcerting fact I find about proprietary paperless computerized voting systems is that they've entirely removed the ability of the public to observe, participate in, or audit the counting of their votes. The privatization of our democracy is a blatant, dangerous invitation to fraud and corruption in itself, but those threats are exponentially compounded by the computer technology being employed to install this and by the related abuses of intellectual property law being applied to blockade all public access to our election equipment and processes. Because these are privatized machines, because Diebold Company says, oh, this is my proprietary software, they're blockading us from properly examining and testing these machines. They're blockading us from properly counting our votes and locking us out of the process from the top to the bottom. Pardon? Patent is one source. Copyright is another source of protecting intellectual property. The problem is not that they have intellectual property. The problem is that these are public systems, not private property. Okay, these are public systems that, above all other public systems, need complete open access to the public. And there are ways to do that. For instance, it's the argument of the overwhelming majority of technology professionals in the country and probably around the world, that a system like this, once you add a paper audit trail, a voter-verified paper audit trail to the systems, it doesn't matter that the software is proprietary anymore. It does not matter. You don't have to know, because every voter certifies every machine every time they walk up and cast a vote.
Let's suppose Diebold pays and says, okay, we'll produce
the paper audit. Yes. Once they're transmitted, what prevents them is the fact that we have an audit trail. That's what the audit trail is about.
I'm saying, okay, I vote for candidate A.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it on the paper. And I say, yes, okay. And I say, send.
Right.
Okay.
No, because the vote will be counted or verified and audited from the paper ballots. At least a percentage of those paper ballots will have to be counted. Oh, yeah, exactly. No. No, you not only see it, but it goes into a ballot box. Like I said, you don't walk out of the polling place with that receipt. Right.
What?
Right. Oh, well, you could still tabulate it mechanically, but you can pretty easily see if a scanner is not reading the ballots correctly. You know, that's really what it comes down to. Because electronic ballots are, by their very nature, intangible. By design, they are also very malleable, so that those ballots exist as nothing more than a sequential string of what I like to call electromagnetic chads. Every aspect of collecting and counting these electro-chads must be processed through software programs, which are themselves intangible and composed of the same changeable electromagnetic chads. The software programs, by their purpose and design, can instantly and visibly alter the location of state of any of the system's electrochads in any point in the process. The programs operate autonomously, and they can base their chad-changing decisions on an infinite variety of intangible conditions, sequences, or random events, such as where the voter touches the screen, the time of day, or which chads have previously been changed. The conditional criteria that programs use to make decisions can only be determined and evaluated by human beings while the software is in its readable source code state. Once the source code chads have been converted to machine code chads, determining all the conditional criteria of a program's operation is pretty much a blind and pointless guessing game. I say all that. Is there anybody who would disagree with any of the observations there? Okay.
Well, electronic check. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, I know everything's a bunch of zeros and ones, but mm-hmm. I have personally successfully been able to transmit data down to the source code level and bring it right back. I hardly ever have any trouble with that.
When you say down to the source code level, what do you mean by the source code
level?
Because the original written, human-readable form software.
We have checksums, you know, to make sure that what you pass in is what you're supposed to get out.
Okay, but as a voter, how do I know what you've programmed the machine to do?
That's true.
That's the point. As a voter, how do you know what Diebold has programmed that machine to do? Or what hackers who've gotten into the system have programmed the machine to do? So that's really it. I'm sorry, is there more?
Well, what about a paper receipt trail?
That's exactly what we're talking about doing, yes.
Okay.
That gives you a voter-verified paper receipt at the voting machine so you can confirm that what the software recorded, you know, matches what the voter saw and confirmed through that paper receipt. I mean, these people make ATMs. That's what Diebold did before they made voting machines. They made automated teller machines. I've never gone to an automated teller machine that wouldn't give me a receipt. Okay? I wouldn't use an automated teller machine that didn't give me a receipt. So why are we forced to trust Diebold when the financial institutions and the people who use financial institutions don't have to? You know? It's like our votes have less value than the nickels in our damn banking accounts. You know?
One of the things that they mentioned at the beginning of the program was that all government transactions needed a source document.
Yes.
How is it even legal for them to even suggest to vote without a paper trail?
The states get to decide, currently the states pretty much get to decide how their voting systems operate and work, and they certify them independent of the federal government. So there are no blanket regulations that say that. So because it's not a federal law guiding the voting systems, they don't have to respond to things like, you know, praising a duck, yeah. Exactly.
Isn't the source code for, like, slot machines in casinos open to governmental?
Well, yeah. In fact, a little later on, there's a good point about that. I mentioned that, let me just read a little bit more of what I got written here, and a couple of these other points will get taken care of. So we're all in agreement now that, you know, that these are invisible machines that can, and programs can change the chads anytime they want to without our intervention? Okay. Prior to invisible electronic balloting, the incestuous practice and structure of the National Association of state election directors, NASED, that's a mouthful, National Association of State Election Directors. This is the main agency that's been used by the states to certify their machines. Prior to these invisible electronic balloting systems, they were pretty much irrelevant because all of the voting systems prior to this have produced physical, human-readable evidence which allowed most anyone and everyone to independently validate a system's capabilities and viability. It is easily determined, for instance, if punch cards don't align properly or if a scanner is misreading paper pallets. Even a complex lever machine is subject to mechanical laws which will produce consistent and repeatable operation. And careful examination of the physical apparatus can readily uncover any flaws or tampering. So these electronic machines are entirely a new field. There's been a lot of attempt by secretaries of state and other election officials to say, well, we let these mechanical machines in, they're the same thing. They're not even remotely the same thing. Once you add a paper audit trail, they come close to the same thing. Because then you've got a physical result, piece of physical evidence you can test. But until that time, there's no comparison at all. With all of these tangible ballot systems, altering the outcome of a major election also requires a large-scale conspiracy. Think about it. You have to manipulate the physical evidence of hundreds of voting devices or thousands of documents. In stark contrast, the software of computerized voting systems can instantly and invisibly manipulate ballots and vote counts based on a nearly infinite variety of random and intangible conditions. Standard practices dictate the same collection program is replicated onto every machine. So basically, if you rig one piece of software, you've rigged all the voting systems in the system. Without full public review of all the system source instructions for the voting computer software agents, the testing process is reduced to trial and error. So if I wanted to test one of these machines, all I can do is go up and say, well, somebody might do this. Did it work? Somebody might do that. And I've got to try and hit every one of the possible infinite combinations of sequences and actions that would test it. Yet this is the way these machines are being tested by NASED and by the states. And it's, you know, clearly ineffectual, I think. I don't think anybody would disagree with that here now either. All right. This gets into an interesting part of the story that I want to touch on because I was most directly involved with this. I worked with the Georgia Voter Choice Coalition, and we worked very hard to get some paper audit legislation through the Georgia General Assembly at the beginning of the year. We were somewhat successful, and we at least got it passed through one house of the assembly. But then we were pretty heavily blockaded by the Democrats on the House side. We got it through the Senate. And it was an interesting coalition. The Green Party was rather instrumental in getting the voter legislation drafted and finding a sponsor for it. The Green Party is very active in that type of thing because they have a lot of issues about voter access, about getting third parties on the ballot. And that's a challenge for them. So they've been very strong in supporting these voter issues, and they're worth contacting if you want to pick up the banner and start help the fight to keep these machines out of your election systems. The Libertarian Party, which you probably couldn't think was more opposite the Green Party, was very much in line and on board with assisting with this as well, again, for those same ballot access issues. So it made an interesting thing. Our sponsor was a Republican, was a fairly prominent state Republican. Oddly for me, especially after the 2000 election, it turned out to be the Democrats who pretty much blockaded all our efforts, mostly led by our wonderful Secretary of State, Kathy Cox. Here in Georgia, she was the person most responsible for adopting paper to electronic systems. And now she attempts to reassure voters that we have a secondary and independent level of testing and system certification. This gets into the whole incestuous lineup of how these machines are getting installed. Unfortunately, the costly testing being directed by Britt Williams at Kennesaw State College is of the same irrelevant, blind guessing variety. And Britt Williams is not even remotely independent of the operation. First, it helps to know that Britt is among the tiny minority of computer industry professionals that is not actively promoting a voter-verified paper audit trail as a necessity for these election systems. Perhaps more interesting are the facts that Britt Williams also sits on the, surprise, NACED Board of Directors, was directly involved in directing the drafting the 1990 and 2002 Federal Election Commission voting system guidelines. These are federal guidelines, they're not laws. These are recommendations on how to do voting systems. The originals were written in 1990, and they weren't updated until 2002. Britt was also recently appointed to the advisory panel of the newly minted Federal Election Assistance Commission. This is a panel that this is an agency that was started by Bush, and along with a lot of other agencies from that administration, is completely unfunded. It's a 15-member consulting team that has been heavily stacked with NACED insiders and paperless electronic voting promoters. So now they're taking the state fight national so they can all have us voting on paperless electronic machines. Most interesting of all is that Britt Williams was also the primary and star consultant in steering the state's electronic voting systems decisions and was further contracted by Kathy Cox's office to write the certification specifications for Georgia's statewide installation of Diebold paperless DRE machines. So it was a real surprise for Britt when his own computer science department at Kennesaw State was awarded the $500,000 a year contract to redundantly certify, quote unquote, and aggressively promote Georgia's new Diebold paperless electronic systems. Welcome to Dixiecrats. That's the kind of incestuous connections you find everywhere along the line with everybody connected with NACED. Again, not to be a conspiracy theorist, because there's a, you know, not that many people were out there certifying state voting machines, you know. So it's going to be a small cadre to begin with. But the problem is a lot of these people are industry insiders. And a lot of these people are have direct conflicts of interest with what's going on. And that's where it's really a concern and really kind of a focal point of the fight, of the battle you got to fight. It's worth noting here that truly independent testing of Diebold DREs and similar paperless electronic systems have been conducted by the Nevada Gaming Commission. Okay, their results determined that electronic voting systems which lack a voter-verified paper audit trail are not only unacceptable for use in their state, but represent a threat to the legitimacy of our entire election process. That's a quote from the Nevada Secretary of State.
Dumb it down a notch. Bear with me.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Are you
saying no
that A did not match B, or are you saying we can't be sure that even though A matches B now, A will match B later on? Was there a specific difference, or were they saying there was an unacceptable risk of specific difference?
No, they were saying there was that without an audit trail, that these machines are not adequate to meet the needs of a voting system.
But they didn't say what we put in didn't come out. There wasn't no specific, we didn't get in, get out what we put in. There was no specific difference. They were simply saying you can't verify there's not going to be a difference down the line.
No. They did not come up to a voting machine, have somebody vote, and then have the output come out the wrong way at the electronic gathering end. That did not happen.
I'm just wondering how blatant they've been.
What? As far as changing the votes?
Yeah.
Well, that's really the problem, because the final twist, this whole insider certification concern, is even more disconcerting. After years of bluster and banter from the Secretary of State about the importance of NACED certifications, after she used these certification issues to help her party blockade the voter verification audit trail legislation we tried to get passed, after all the hundreds of thousands of tax dollars have been sent to Kennesaw State to rubber stamp the NACED certification rituals, it turns out that all this important certification is not actually a binding requirement for our voting systems at all. At least it wasn't in 2002, when every vote in the state of Georgia was processed and counted by uncertified software components. They pulled a last-minute patch on the systems, the Diebold company did, okay? And so every vote that was cast, because it's statewide through one vendor, every vote that was cast in the state of Georgia in 2002 was cast on uncertified software. Now they'll quickly tell you that it was just an operating system patch. But anybody who understands computers knows that the operating system is not an independent element. It's a software component to the whole system. And if you patch the operating system, it's the same as patching the software. Okay? And so, you know, they're quick to try and cover their butt that way. But we don't know, because there's no evidence. We don't know what they patched.
Is it too late for this election to get an absentee ballot and do an in-run around this whole system?
Oh, get it. It's not too late, but get your absentee ballot. But I tell you what, you know what happens when they get their absentee ballot in the mail? Mm-hmm. Somebody punches it into a freaking Diebold machine.
Oh.
Depending on your polling place, you will get a very interesting reaction if you do ask for paper ballots or if you ask about this. Because I went in, I guess the last time we had it, not this past election, but the last one, and I said, you know, I don't trust the machines at all. I want to, you know, absentee or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up sitting with the guy from Diebold, talking with him in detail on how the machines actually worked, plus came back later. And to watch them take the machines apart and how they tabulate the results at the end, which was pretty interesting in of itself. And they've made it very clear that I had a legal right to come do so, and I think said that about 15 times, that you legally have a right to come watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came back
So did you get see your ballot again? Did you see your ballot after it left the screen
again?
You never saw your ballot after it left the screen? They couldn't show you your ballot?
No, the only thing that I saw afterwards was the totals, the total counts per machine. They have three kind of papers that they present.
Right. These machines have a printer, by the way. She can testify that these machines have a printer in every machine that could be doing the job.
Two that go back to the polling station with the PCMCA card that has the information, and then one ends up on the poll, you know, the wall for the polling place. But I've already gone through two of these elections where I got to go back and watch them take it apart.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently remembered me and invited me to come back again.
All right. So you're convinced that nobody can tamper with these systems?
Not in the least bit.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, a question back there.
I'm sorry?
Isn't that like watching a coroner do an autopsy? He's slicing me open. He's taking out my pieces. And you have no idea if what he's saying is true. This is a healthy heart. Ignore the worms. That's normal.
Exactly. That's weird.
And the fact that I actually got the guy from Diebold to ask him a few questions, I actually got him at one point to say, no, I have no idea. I don't know what would happen if you took one of those PCMCA cards and plugged it into a laptop and monkeyed around with it. I don't know what would happen.
Yeah, that's really the problem that I mentioned. That's why I mentioned the infinite number of conditions. There really are an infinite number of conditions that could be used by the software inside the machine to change the way your vote is recorded.
And by the way, I go to
KSU. All right. All right. Is it true that Britt Williams cannot read C source code?
That I haven't heard yet.
Okay. We would love a confirmation of that. Would you ask him sometime, you know? Show him some C source code. Okay. I got to play the game. Over there.
Who was the officer from Diebold that made the comment a few months ago that he was confident that they could deliver the election to George Bush?
That's the president of the company, the CEO. Yeah, to deliver his exact words were to deliver the electorate to George Bush. Yes, it's in Ohio. Yeah, it's in Ohio, and Ohio's fighting this battle right now. The only other state that's going to be statewide is Nevada. Nevada has before any of this came down, right after the 2000 elections, I'm not sure exactly when the legislation happened, but they actually came out with a voter bill of rights that stated for the citizens of that state that they will have a valid voting system, and it defined what a valid voting system was. So Nevada is not only is to really cover themselves, they fully tested them through the Gaming Commission. If there was any fraud that was going on, the Gaming Commission is the one place in the world that would catch it. You know, the Nevada Gaming Commission is the authority on electronic fraud. They're using three different vendors, is my understanding, so that you'll have three different systems independently reporting that, and they are counting a large percentage. I'm not sure exactly what the percentage number is, but they're counting a large percentage of the paper ballots by hand as an audit to the overall electronic counts. So those are kind of like the minimum requirements. Ideally, you know, we take this further, you have all the paper ballots are the only ones that count, and they're all counted, you know, and that's where the vote gets counted from, ideally, you know. Let's see, what were we talking about? The other ideal would be that you have open source software in these systems so you can examine the source code, that even go down and examine the source code you use. Though, as I stated earlier, it's not that critical once you have a voter verified paper audit trail.
You had another question?
Yes. How many people who say to trust these machines will get gas and drive off without getting a receipt.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Yeah, that's my point earlier. But ATM, you know, these companies make ATM machines, and if I pay in with my credit card, I want a receipt. I want a record of that transaction. I don't know. It's strange.
Wasn't there already a lawsuit, an election, in the midst of the election, a patch was applied? And I think
well, California has there's a couple of things going on in California with their voting systems. They had decertified all the systems because of hanky panky like that. Same thing that happened in Georgia in 2002.
That's where it was basically they made the change, and then suddenly Kennedy B, who was getting hammered, suddenly rocketed straight up.
I don't know the details of the particular case, or I'm not familiar with that particular case, so I can't speak to it. It's entirely possible.
I know that
given,
you,
yeah.
I think you want to look it up. Basically, in the election,
yeah.
You had candidate A who was doing really, really well. The person went, did the patch of the machine, and suddenly everything shifted drastically.
You could patch it anywhere because these are all centrally networked, by the way. The collection systems are all centrally networked. You know, Kathy Cox will get up on a pedestal and say, "Oh no, we're not on the network." Well, then tell me, how did you get the votes from Macon? It might just be a phone call, but you're on a phone network, and you can intercept that kind of stuff, and you can manipulate the data. You're on a network to get it there, and don't let them tell you, and don't let them snow you that they're not, because that you know how do you get the vote from Macon? You get it up there, John.
You can insert a wireless card into any of these voting machines, and
you can insert a wireless card into any of these voting machines in their PCM CIA slot. And you could also have that slot like wired into the back of the machine, so it appears there's no card in there. Someone could drive up, access the machine, see how the totals are going, manipulate them, and drive off to the next precinct.
Yeah, you don't have to be just afraid of Diebold, because basically anybody can dial into the central database, which is a Microsoft database. Oh joy. And pretty much anybody whoever used Excel. Can pretty much go in and dial in any kind of votes. One of our big supporters in the state. Give me your name, John. Roxanne Jacket is collected a lot of information about this and compiled it. What's Jacket's website again? That's the
countthevote.org.
Roxanne's compiled a lot of information, a lot of hardcore information about it, and a lot of the possibilities of being hacked are covered there, and she even put together a hack the vote demo that we used at the state legislature to show a couple of legislatures, you know, just how easy it is to go in and change the database records because it's just an Excel file, and there were no security locks on it at all.
I assume this is an effort. This is an effort that's going on in multiple states, right?
Yes, this is an effort that's going on in every state.
Okay.
Every state is racing to get the HAVA money, the Help America Vote Act money that's paying for these machines.
Okay, so here's my kind of controversial question. Given that I'm in 100% agreement with what you're doing, by the way.
Thank you.
Given that there are limited resources nationwide, doesn't it make sense to concentrate those resources and that effort on the states that are not clearly red or blue states? Because no matter what any of we Georgia residents in here do, George Bush will win Georgia. It is the reddest state.
That's not a given. There's a lot of anger and frustration with the president administration.
There's no effort by Kerry or Bush in the state of Georgia because it's like 58% Bush, 32% Kerry. I mean, there's just no way.
Well, according to the public media polls.
But the other thing
so what?
I mean, there's always. My point is, there's always a chance.
I understand,
okay,
but
the electronic voting issue.
That you want to get the best bang for your buck,
mm-hmm.
doesn't make sense to concentrate the effort where it could go either way. Because like Texas doesn't need a paper vote. California really doesn't need a paper vote. New York.
Partisanship, though. You know, you want to seem nonpartisan in your pursuit of fair voting. You don't want to have any taint of, oh, we're trying to tilt things this way or that. So, I mean, that could undermine what you're trying to do in terms of public relations.
The electoral college's population is shifting. It is entirely possible that in this election you will have candidates winning a different number of states but having the same number of electoral votes meaning it will go to the House of Representatives. So even if the entire state does go to Bush, it's possible that if you have more representatives or more Democrats than Republicans in your state, then that your state vote will then, in the House of Representatives, count for Kerry.
I understand all that, but what you just said had nothing to do with what I'm saying. What
You're
I'm
saying, why check it?
But no, I'm not saying why check it. I'm saying why check it in New York, why check it in Texas, why check it in California, why check it in Georgia? Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's a preordained
decision. Because the reps, you might actually...
It does matter, because once they install these systems, you can't get them out again. They're designed so you can't get them out again.
It should be done eventually. I'm saying for this election, given the limited amount of time...
I'm saying that this battleground is not partisan. I'm saying this battleground is not just about the 2004 election. This battleground is in every state, and it's equally critical in every state for the 2004 election, for every election.
I agree with you that it's critical. I'm saying for the 2004 election, it is by no means equally critical. It is far more critical in states that are not clearly red or blue.
Then
there's some logic to it.
I'm not denying the logic of it.
Given the limited amount of time between now and November 7th and the limited amount of resources, I'm just saying it makes more sense.
Sure.
But I still agree with you 100%.
No. And I see your point about, focusing. If you've got a particular political party or cause that you're pushing, that you want to focus on the states that are more critical or more in the balance on that. Right.
Campaigns are doing.
They're
only focusing on the battleground states. Because they know that Georgia, New York, Texas, California are a complete waste of time.
But I'm not going to stop. Yeah.
But the presidential election, and you're still talking, even here in Georgia.
Right.
Senatorial race going on.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
In 60 days, I can't affect what's going to happen in Ohio. I can't affect what's going to happen in Illinois. In 60 days, I can't make a difference there. I've got to continue the fight here. My fight here is going to be to call the governor of Governor Perdue, the governor of Georgia, and I'm going to say voters should have the option of a paper ballot in this election. I'm going to go back and read a little bit more of what I organized here. Because the final twist, like I said, is that, certification wasn't really needed. Incidentally, the resulting Diebold vote counts of the 2002 election not only delivered some rather extreme upsets, you may recall, but they did manage to reinstate the company's poster child promoter and their biggest customer, Ms. Kathy Cox, in the position of Georgia's election system decision maker. So, another reason to be suspicious.
All the money.
Yeah, exactly. One minute on that, okay? Predictably, if ironically, Ms. Cox and Diebold have still loudly proclaimed and consistently proclaimed 2002 was the cleanest election in Georgia's history. Of course, informed voters can just as easily proclaim and just as validly that 2002 was the most fraudulent election in Georgia's history. The sorry truth is that thanks to paperless computer voting systems used to run that election, there will never be an iota of evidence to prove either claim. Would that we all could so easily eliminate all the proof of our job performance, as Kathy Cox did. Ms. Cox also attempts to excuse the secrecy of proprietary system testing with false comparisons to laboratory certification services for consumer commodities. This was put in the editorial pages just a week and a half ago in the Journal Constitution. Private endorsements from credible testing agencies can indeed be valid aids to choosing a toaster or a table lamp, but voters do not have the luxury of choice in the polling equipment that they use. Election systems are shared public property of the Commonwealth, and as such, proof of their legitimacy must be a public issue. Voting equipment certification, like every aspect of a legitimate election process, must be fully open, transparent, and accountable to the citizens at every level if those processes are to resist corruption and retain the trust and confidence of the voters. Okay. In closing, the public concerns with corporate conflicts of interest and suspect conduct of public representatives in handling our voting equipment issues further demands that come November we do all make that call to the governor and demand that we have the option of voting paper ballots. We must call on Kathy Cox's boss to ensure that a balanced public panel of fellows, that our votes, that we have a choice of who counts our votes. a balanced public panel of fellow citizens, or unknown, unseen profiteers and programmers of the Diebold Corporation. After voting in this year's general primaries, who voted this year in the primaries? Good for you. All right. Got to exercise it, even if it might be meaningless. We don't know for sure yet. It's all guesswork. Okay, so get out there and vote. I went out and voted in the general primaries. I received a nice little smiley sticker with a nice little smiling computer screen character on it, and it was claiming that Georgia counts. We know that that's not the case. Let's hope that come November, Georgia voters can ensure that the little sticker is actually stating the truth. You were first, and I'll get back to you. Blackboxvoting.org, verifiedvoting.org is another good one.
And she just recently mentioned that there was this big hole in Diebold software, like this, you can make this two-digit change in the code or somewhere. It's like in on.
Well, Diebold is so competent about security that the source code for these machines they've been hacked, and the source code for these machines has been downloaded, at least an early version of it. And one of the most interesting things about the source code from that is that, you know, they do have a printer inside every one of these machines. And the first thing they do when they open up and set the printer for the day is they do what's called print a zero total. Okay? They tell the machine to print and tell us that and let us know if there's any votes that are still in the machine that shouldn't be in there. You know, that it's basically been the memory's been erased. Okay? So we get it and it prints a zero. And in the code, in the source code, when you read it, the instruction for doing that is print 000. Literally, they don't do any checking at all. They just print zeros.
This was like maybe a week or so ago, but mm-hmm. You know, they have sort of like a blog, and she mentioned how there was a security hole where if you made this change, you could like affect the results of like a million votes at a time, you know, within the system.
Yes.
Parallel total.
Right, and produce mm-hmm. a parallel total, and then the second thing is, you know, okay, so I want to vote by absentee ballot, but is that going to matter if somebody else is going to punch it in into the machine?
That's, I mean, the whole game is rigged top to bottom, so it all gets processed by the Diebold Corporation. So you're basically out of the picture. I mean, the voting and the voting officials here are still very nice. You know, I had to about my daughter voted absentee in that primary because we were out visiting her college. On vacation, and they were very helpful in getting me the paperwork and everything, but it ain't going to matter when it comes back and gets counted because it's going to get plugged into a Diebold machine.
Given Bush versus Gore Supreme Court case, now that we've had about 4 years to review it,
yes.
Does that, if I remember correctly, the Supreme Court basically said, yes, we should recount, but we don't have time. Right. That was. I mean, how are you planning on using that particular court case as basically saying, in order to prevent any hokey pokey, how do we saying, okay, the Supreme Court says we have to be able to do a recount. How it does? Isn't Diebold legally bound to have some way of actually verifying?
They do. They do. You know, they do claim to have.
The Supreme Court specifically said this ruling applies only to Bush versus Gore.
Right.
It's the only time in the Supreme Court history they've ever issued a ruling that said this only applies right now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, states, like I say, are pretty autonomous in those things, and states' rights in voting decisions, up at least till now, have been fairly independent. I guess the point was it really shouldn't have gone to the Supreme Court at all because it was a state's decision. And states' rights are all very well and fine unless your guy might not win. You know, and you got a stacked court of friends in the Supreme Court.
If these voting systems are public property, couldn't you do a Freedom of Information Act request on the source code?
We've done a bunch of Freedom of Information Act. Not Freedom of Information Act, it's called the Open Records Act in Georgia. We do have open records things. There's been a lot. In fact, John's here. He's been working with me and VoterChoice.org. Actually, I joined him, and we recently started a new point of information, DefendersOfDemocracy.com, and we'll be publishing more information there, and also have links to a lot of other sites. It is .com, right? Or is it?
It is.
Okay.
.org was gone.
Oh, dang. But John actually has some open records requests outstanding right now. What have you asked for so far?
I actually witnessed a situation I think is unusual on two counts. Wouldn't it be
unjust if George Bush was also the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? Well, shouldn't there be a separation of powers at the state level as well as?
He's making a reference to the separation of powers of who controls the election and who gets to be
in Georgia. There is no separation of powers between judicial results on elections and the chief executive officer. Both of those people are the same person, which is Kathy Cox. And the open records requests relate to a contest which happened in the city of McDonough, not far from here, where there were 2,000 total votes. 2,000 people had signed up to vote. However, there was 2,066 votes that were in the results box. And was there an investigation? No. Did Kathy Cox certify the election as true and correct? Yes. That's the kind of crookedness that we have here, where 2,000 equals 2,066.
Yeah, people like Roxanne Jeckett and other people associated with our group have made literally dozens of open records requests. Most of them turned out to be a fraud. We supposedly, after California decertified their machines, their Diebold machines, Kathy Cox was very quick to get on the air and say, oh, well, we don't use the same machines here, which is a blatant lie. And to capture that lie, we actually made an open records request to see the state purchasing contract, because even the purchasing contract for the machine is withheld from public view. You don't know how much we're paying in our tax dollars to the Diebold Corporation to own their machines. So there's no peer review, so there's no free market competition either.
Follow the money,
exactly. I'm sorry, I'm meandering. Let me get your question.
But besides writing to Sonny Perdue, who I don't think is going to do anything for us, and neither is Kathy Cox, if everybody writes to their state legislators, because they get elected every 2 years, if they start hearing from everybody, they'll do something about it.
Yeah, but to do something for November, it could happen.
Never.
We had a band of seven people that got through Kathy Cox's Stonewall Dixiecrats, and got this legislation passed in the Senate. You never give up. You never give up, because this is an important battle. This is a really important battle. You get it, you go home. Right. I want to talk to our voting our poll worker again here.
All right.
I want you to open up before I start talking.
Fine.
Very good. Fine.
Okay. Something that that I feel that needs to be addressed is the audit paper trail would only be useful on the state level because, contrary to popular belief, we do not live in a democracy. This is a constitutional republic.
Democratically elected representatives.
We have electoral.
We have the electoral college. Yes, decide that. Yes.
We don't have. We don't actually have.
Right.
A democratic society where mob rules.
Not on the federal. Not on the federal.
So this would be useful on a state level, but not. I don't think it would be useful on a federal level.
But well, who won the state? Electors, which are then going to elect the.
Yeah, but the electors are not bound to vote the way the state votes.
In a lot of states, they are actually.
Yeah.
Many states there are. It
and,
depends on the state.
And the whole thing and the whole thing with the election in Florida, I don't hear a whole bunch about the fact that the Democrats tried to block absentee ballots from the military that were residents of that state.
I don't hear a lot about the fact that Jeb Bush illegally disqualified 50,000 voters.
And right I also and I yeah. and you but, also and you also don't hear a lot the about the thousands Yeah. You also don't hear a lot about the thousands of voters, the snowbirds, who voted absentee in New York and voted in Florida.
I am not going to argue with that people are corrupt on both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of this is so that it doesn't matter who you support. You can look at the paper trail and say, Okay, that's who won.
This is a nonpartisan issue.
All right.
That's why we had the Green parties and the Libertarian parties and the Republicans and many Democrats. Many Democrats sided with us. They didn't get a chance to vote in the House. We had the Black Caucus with us, the Democratic Black Caucus with us finally at the last hour in the House, but it got blockaded. Kathy Cox spent several of your taxpayer dollar days out there lobbying actively to make sure that the insiders blocked it. We even had an amendment to attach to another bill. The bill was a bill designed to keep people who've been convicted of vote fraud, of election tampering, to keep people who've been convicted from still working as poll workers, because apparently there's a case where that doesn't. You know, hell, Diebold, you know, has two or three made programmers that have and executives that have been convicted of vote fraud. It never ends. So we were attaching our, you know, paper trail amendment to this bill, okay? And it got to the floor, and the House Speaker, you know, our guy goes up and says, here, we want to attach this amendment. And the House Speaker says, oh, that's not germane to this. A bill about vote fraud, and, you know, an amendment about vote fraud isn't germane to a bill about vote fraud. I mean, that's how close we came to actually getting legislation on the floor. And we did have a lot of Democratic support. There's some great people out there. Stephanie Benfield Stuckey, you know, sticks to mind right away. Because, I don't know, you have a similar build. but there are some good representatives out there. And you need to find them. And you do need to contact your legislatures and make sure you make it clear that this isn't, you know, paperless electronic voting is an intolerable choice, that you don't want it there.
My question is, what can Florida do? Because I'm from Orlando, Florida,
mm-hmm.
and we've been screwed before
mm-hmm.
and made to look like fools.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody doesn't know the details, I recommend the movie. I'd like to plug the movie Unprecedented.
Yeah.
But this next election, we know something's going to happen. We know something's up. Our former mayor, Glenda Hood, is the supervisor of elections. I think she took
Catherine Harris's
place. Handpicked by Jeb Bush. It smells funny. It stinks. And I'm honestly afraid that it's going to come to violence if something, you know, blatantly, you know, just... there's going to be riots and stuff.
There may well be this time because people are tired of being defrauded. And, I mean, I've talked to cab drivers from, like, small, struggling democracies in Africa. And I remember this cab driver in particular, and he was saying, you know, unbelievable. In my country, they would have been blood in the streets. You know? People would have been killing each other over the Florida election, over the Florida 2000 decision, you know. But we're a civil society, and let's hope we can stay that way. Let's hope we can stay that way regardless of what happens. Because, you know, the forces, you know, eventually find their equilibrium, and we just got to, you know, do our best to be vocal about it. The main thing is don't let them suppress you. I can't tell you the number of times Kathy Cox stood up there and got to play the bully pulpit while we had five expert witnesses standing in line to contradict everything, every lie she was telling. And a lot of it was just lies, you know. She literally lied and said things like, "Oh, well, that paper trail machine didn't meet NACED certification standards." Well, yes, it is. We brought it in. It said, "Oh, but it's not. It's only certified to 1990. It's not certified to the 2002 standards that Brett Williams just wrote for me." Okay, it's not certified to that. Okay. Oh, but by the way, neither is mine. But I'm not going to tell you that. Neither is the Diebold machines. They're not up to those certification standards either. I mean, unbelievable.
Could a suit be brought?
We're actually have some parties named to suits. We've gone in and done some things in polling places to foment contest, to, you know, legitimate things.
We need funds,
and we need a legal team. You know, we've got a small legal team and stuff. Pardon?
Like a website to send donations to?
All I can suggest is sending donations to the Green Party. With a note that you would like to see this used for voting causes, and that will guarantee that it will get directed to those applications. That would be the best place, the Green Party of Georgia, for this, for our state anyway.
Just
getting back sort of more onto the electronic voting records, didn't I believe I read recently that they went back to look at some of the voting results from Florida in 2002 on the electronic machines, and over 50,000 votes that had been recorded at that time are no longer in the database at all. They have no way of ever knowing.
That's correct, yeah.
I said it all
in what I wrote down. I mean, there is no evidence of how people voted with these electronic systems. There's absolutely no evidence left. I mean, the minute that screen, goes blank and says, happy voting, you voted, then, Lord knows what happens to data from there, because there is no permanent record. Right. I mean, yeah. I got to give John credit for one, because one of Kathy Cox. In fact, when we were testifying before the Senate committee, so that we could get on the floor to get voted on, the first committee hearing where this came up, where our bill came up, Kathy Cox's office representative stood up there, and her first line out of her mouth was that paper is fraud. That was literally the Orwellian crap coming out of this office, was that paper is fraud. and John came up with a wonderful response to that. Well, if paper's fraud, I'll happily take all the fraud in your wallet right now. Please, I'll share all the fraud in your wallet. But
that's a really good metaphor if you take it out of context.
Exactly.
Fraud,
exactly.
Fraud. Yeah. Wait a minute.
This one's a non-controversial question, I promise. How dang hard is it to program a machine that they have to do a last-minute patch? I mean, I work with voice response systems, and I've seen the code, and it's pretty simple. It's like, if caller says A, do this. If caller says B, do this. This is not much more than that.
No, it's really taking it and putting it into the database.
Why are they being?
The physical machines themselves are custom hardware. I mean, I'll give them some bones on that. I've developed a little hardware and software myself, so I know. But it's custom hardware. They were racing to get these machines out. Diebold didn't actually create these machines. They were created by Global Election Systems, which are the systems used in Florida. Okay, before Diebold bought them and took over the contract for them. Okay,
yeah, I can understand the hardware aspect of it totally, because those two. But that they have to do a last minute patch for something that's so simple.
Mostly it was Microsoft. I guess they use Wince. They use Wince. As the operating system, and the machines were not cooperating well with Microsoft.
Also, they weren't certified to work with.
General protection fault never happens. Right. So, and they were running into blue screens of death, and that's where they had to panic and patch the machines at the last minute, and how all that got through the weeks and months of certification testing is absolutely beyond me. That's the bigger question. How'd this get through this great, lockdown, secure, testing rigors we have, The machines are broken when they're delivered, and these were the certified machines that were broken, that's all you can do is just, again, I recommend right now you can give them to John as a representative of Defenders of Democracy, and we'll see that it gets applied to the cause. John Fortune back there. All right.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of media coverage about how untraceable these elections are and how easy it is to tamper with. Isn't this have you noticed this creating any kind of buzz in the script kiddie community for, make a name for yourself, change an election to make Mickey Mouse? Is this inviting somebody completely unrelated to do something crazy with an election?
A sudden and curious communist resurgence.
Well, I consider the fact that it's running on Wince to be enough motivation right there, but I haven't heard of anything in the thank you very much. Really appreciate it, your questions. I haven't heard of anything in the community going on like that, no. But then I don't follow around the hacker community that closely. It may well be that somebody's looking to make that a badge of honor. Now, while the machines are on the system, they aren't really networked. I mean, only one machine phones up gets on the telephone network and calls the results in. But there are but the collection systems are fully on the network and would be the focal point for any kind of hacks or attacks like that. And again, it's just an access database. So, you know, you can go in and manipulate the records, you know, with ease. And they are very secure. I mean, people have downloaded their software from their development site. People have downloaded sample databases from Georgia from their site. I mean, their site's been hacked left and right. They have no idea, no concept of security at all, which is amazing for a company that sells ATM machines. Yeah, it's even scarier. But the ATM machines produce a paper record and an audit trail. So. Oh, they're secure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other questions or points?
I hear that Florida is trying to. I'm also Floridian. That they're trying to create a manual recount this time around in a paper trail for those machines.
The latest I heard from Florida is for their electronic voting machines, a judge. It's critical in the case as the lawsuits are coming out. A judge has said that you have to produce a manual audit trail. The manual audit trail, interestingly, and I was looking earlier for a piece of paper that actually has this on it, and unfortunately I did not find it. But if you go and read the HAVA legislation, HAVA very directly and very clearly mandates a manual audit capability onto the machines. This is the Help America Vote Act that was used as it's the funding source that's supposed to pay Georgia back $52 million that they've handed off to Diebold for these machines. Okay? And it very specifically requires it will produce a manual audit trail. You know, and it's a wonderful paragraph to read. And how anybody, and yet, you know, the propagandists, the smokescreen is they take this terminology and they twist it around so it doesn't say what it said anymore, even though the author of that paragraph in the bill says, yeah, that's exactly what I meant a voter verified paper audit trail printed out next to the machine, you know, and that's exactly what I tried to say with that paragraph. And even after hearing that, it's all beyond logic. It is, you know, there's nothing of logic about it, and that's the big frustration for a person as a programmer and a computer fan. Yeah, that was actually that was actually the first 7 minutes to do it. But all it really is you have a printer connected to the voting machine. Okay, that printer, when you finish your voting process, you say I'm done. It prints out a ballot. You say yes, those are the people that I meant to vote for. You approve it, and it goes into a ballot box. Okay, and that way the voter verifies that, and then later you use those paper trails to at least partially. Or statistically validate any electronic totals. That's how the true vote system worked. Yeah, and true vote's problem. He was a small company. He didn't have the backing of like a Diebold. He didn't have the ability. He would have been hard pressed to get his machines in place for 2002, which was the big goal. Which is one of the reasons it really wasn't valid as a consideration. There were other choices that did the same thing that were capable of it, but they were overlooked. He was a small company, and basically now that he's been run off the road by a semi truck, I don't know if TrueVote will survive, because it was all. I mean, the main thing he had done is create the software. He created the software. He was even open sourcing the software that he created, so they did it, and he rigged up a little touchscreen machine so that you could demonstrate it.
Was the TrueVote system configured to do instant runoff voting as well? Like that's been an issue in terms of having third-party candidates
instant,
more than two-party candidates.
Yeah, instant. I think it's my understanding that instant runoff is more a matter of the legal legislation to allow that to happen. So that's something that you have to legislate in the state to say, oh yeah, well if we have a three-way contest and nobody gets a clear 50%, then we have an interest, a runoff between the top two. So. And any system can do that. Any voting system,
situation.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a matter of programming a new ballot to slide in there. Yeah. New graphics. I'm past my time. Thank you all so much. You've been great audience. I'm just going to say thank you for the opportunity to rant once more, because it makes absolutely no sense, and I'm just going. Well, I just want to add, everybody that I've talked to, it doesn't matter which group that I've gotten to speak to, they've all been preaching to the choir, so I don't understand how these machines are in place. I really don't.
Yeah. And we've been to see her because I saw her because they're just